A lot of my money, whenever I made it, was going directly into my car. I upgraded my Toyota, put in new rims on my car, put in subwoofers on my car, 2 12-inch subwoofers, I upgraded my sound system, I put tints on my car, I put HID lights on my car. I mean, I really made this car look nice, but it doesn't actually build me any wealth. And that was where I had this idea of...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
If you are in your 20s right now and you're watching this video, you have the opportunity of a lifetime to either build wealth or at least set yourself up onto the path for financial freedom by the time you turn 30, but that's going to require you to do a few things that I'm going to talk about today. Now, everything that I talk about in this video is going to be from my personal experiences. I'm not going to be talking about any theory because I was fortunate enough in my 20s to see enough success where my business grew to the point where we had multiple employees, we had a nice office, and we were doing well over $1 million a year in revenue. But the way that we were able to grow this was because of three things. Number one, I knew what I wanted. Number two, I was able to control my spending. And number three, I constantly focused on the income side of what we were doing. Starting with knowing what I wanted, I knew since I was young that I wanted to be my own boss. I didn't know what that meant. Like, I didn't grow up with entrepreneurship education or financial education. I didn't even know what entrepreneurship was until I was in college. I thought that I was going to be a doctor, but I never really wanted to work in a hospital. When I thought I was going to be a doctor, I thought I was going to open up my own clinic, my own dermatology office or an ophthalmology office, because those kind of are like the cream of the crop for every Indian kid to go out and become a dermatologist or an ophthalmologist or maybe an orthopedic surgeon. But for me, I wanted dermatology or ophthalmology. But I don't really know why. That's just what kind of was a standard then. And so I knew that I didn't want to work for somebody else. And then when I got to college, that's when I really got involved in my own entrepreneurial ventures. And it became very clear to me that number one, I don't want to work for somebody else. And number two, I don't want to be a doctor. And when my parents found out that I wasn't going to be a doctor, they weren't very happy. So we kind of compromised. And they said that I can go to law school. That way I can keep some pride in the family. So I went to law school knowing that I didn't want to work as an attorney. And I graduated law school and I never worked a day as an attorney, although I am a licensed attorney. And I'm not your attorney. So I started my entrepreneurial kind of mindset early on because I knew I didn't want to work for somebody else. And through my 20s, that was my focus, that I wanted to build something that I could run, that I could create my way and didn't have to work for somebody else. Now, the interesting thing about this is when you have this idea of entrepreneurship that I'm not going to work for anybody else, I'm going to set my own hours, I'm going to do my own thing, it's not as glamorous as it always sounds because you feel like, oh, I could just work on the beach, I can do whatever I want, I can travel whenever I want. But if you really want to build a business, it takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of hours and it takes a lot of work, but that's kind of besides the point for this video. Because if you're going to start a business, just understand that it's going to take a lot out of you. But I knew that I wanted to create something for myself and I was willing to take risks to do that. And one of those risks was when I was in law school, I knew that I wasn't getting the full value out of law school. Like, everyone that I knew in law school was taking all the extracurriculars, going and learning a lot of things with judges, meeting with the judges, going to the courtrooms and just practicing a lot of that traditional legal stuff. I wasn't doing that. And that was a risk for me because if I graduated law school, I wasn't going to be a very competent or experienced attorney. I knew that. And so I would have had a really difficult time finding a good paying job as an attorney, even though I did good in law school because I didn't have the full experience that everybody else had. I was in law school going through the motions, but most of my effort was focused on how can I build my business? How can I build my revenue? How can I build my assets? So that was the first thing, was I was willing to take a risk knowing what I wanted. But the second thing that really helped me out, which started not when I was 20, but a little bit later, towards the early 20s, was controlling my spending. Because I worked in the event planning space. That was my first real company. I had an event planning company, started off as a party promotion company. I was hosting parties when I was in college. And in that industry, this event industry, it is a very showy industry. You got to show off the certain look, especially if you're working with DJs or working with clubs. Like, you want to have the certain look. So it was all about what watch do you have on your wrist? What kind of belt are you wearing? What kind of car are you driving? What kind of clothes are you wearing? It was all about this showy stuff. And so a lot of my money, whenever I made it, was going directly into my car. I upgraded my Toyota, put in new rims on my car, put in subwoofers on my car, 2 12-inch subwoofers. I upgraded my sound system, I put tints on my car, put HID lights on my car. I mean, I really made this car look nice, and I spent a lot of money on watches. Because that was just cool, having these like blinged out, shiny little watches. Well, when I realized that all these things that I was buying were not making me any money, these were liabilities, because I had no idea what a liability was. I had no idea what an asset was. I was so fortunate that it was funny. My dad actually gave me the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. I don't know why he got it. I don't know how he got it. I don't know why he gave it to me. And I really don't know why I read it. I kind of just was forced to read it because I was sitting on a plane to India with nothing to do. So I just started reading that book. But that was the first time I ever learned about assets versus liabilities. Assets are some things that make you money. Like a business is an asset. A real estate investment is an asset. Your car is a liability. You can pour as much money in your car as you want, but you're not going to get that money back when you go to sell it. And that was the first time it ever really clicked to me that, whoa, I'm spending all my money on these things that don't really do anything for me in return. Yeah, they make me look cool. Yeah, they kind of give me a cool car and they give me this cool thing on my wrist, but it doesn't actually build me any wealth. And that was where I had this idea of, okay, if I want to become wealthy, because I knew I wanted to become financially free, I knew I wanted to make money. And this was a very taboo topic for me growing up, because in the traditional Indian house, you don't really talk about money like that. You're supposed to go out and become a doctor. You're supposed to go out and get good grades. You're supposed to go out and earn a big salary, but not really worry about money, which never really made any sense to me, but that's just kind of how it was for me growing up. But I knew I wanted to become financially successful because I wanted to give back to my parents. I saw how hard my mom and dad were working. I barely got to spend any time with my dad growing up because he was always working. When you come from an immigrant household, you don't take days off. You don't get Christmas off. You don't get New Year's Day off, because when you come from an immigrant household, those are the days where all your traditional Americans are celebrating and having holidays. And those are the days that immigrants go out and work, because that's time for you to get paid. So for me, I saw how hard my parents were working and I wanted to have money so I could buy my dad's time back. And that was where, when I understood the spending concept, I completely flipped the way that I was spending my money. Because before, I went from earning money and spending everything to then spending nothing. I mean, I drove my shoes into the ground, and I'm not recommending you do this, but I drove my shoes into the ground where I had holes in my shoes. I started duct taping my shoes. I was going to the club sometimes with duct tape around my shoes because that was just what made sense to me, because I don't want to waste any more money. Now, I went to an extreme, but I wanted to now keep as much money as possible for me. And I know that this one is a very difficult concept, because even still today, I have maintained a lot of relationships of people that worked in the same industry as me, that event planning industry, or people who are still in that club space, that DJ space, that video space, that whole, you know, entertainment space. And you can make a lot of money in this space. But if you do not do something with the money that you earn, you are working for a paycheck. You just create your own job. And then what happens now is you might be making $200,000 a year. You might be able to make a lot of money in a weekend working at these gigs, working at these clubs, working at weddings. But the problem is, if you keep taking this money and you go out and buy a nice car, you buy a nice watch, you buy a nice home, you go on the nice vacations, you got a great lifestyle. Everything looks great. Like, you're living big and you get to post on social media too, because you're kind of in that showy industry. The problem is, if you ever stop working, that money stops coming in, but you still got the payments. And this is something I'm saying from personal experience, because I see this today with people that I know, people who are living this great lifestyle in that industry, because that's what you do in that entertainment industry. But if you ever stop working, or if the business stops coming in, or if something happens to you and you can't work because now you're self-employed, you stop getting paid. But you still got the car payment, you still got the house payment, you still got the utility payments, and you still got all the other financing payments for all the nice stuff that you have. When this clicked to me, because it has to actually click, it might seem obvious if you've been around the financial education space, but it's not. I'm telling you this, until it clicks, you kind of just live that lifestyle where you work to earn more money and then you buy nicer things, because when you start growing that income, time to get a nicer car, time to upgrade from a Toyota to BMW, maybe upgrade from a BMW to a Mercedes, maybe go to a Maserati, maybe go to something nicer so you can show it off, maybe start flying first class, maybe you get yourself a Movado or a Rolex, maybe you get yourself a G-Wagon to go on the side and it looks nice. But unless now you're taking some of the money and you're putting it aside for these assets, whether it's real estate, whether it's stocks, whether it's your own business, you gotta have this thing. Think about like a retirement plan. How can you keep getting paid even if you're not working? And this is where now it kind of tied in for number three with me, which is working on my income. Because the first thing was, I knew what I wanted and I was willing to take risks for that. Number two was, I was willing to control my spending. And number three was, I was constantly working on increasing my income. And it's kind of funny, because I really didn't know what was a standard job out of college, because I was always working to create my own income. I was working on my event planning company. I was working at weddings at the same time, but everybody was trying to get a job. And that was just kind of like the standard thing that you do. So I figured I'll try to get a job as well, that way I can make some money, because I wanted to make some money. And I remember trying to apply for some of these internships, and these were like business internships. I didn't have any business degree. All I had was my entrepreneurial experience. And I remember looking at it like $14 an hour for a college degree. And again, this is a while ago, but I'm not sure how much of it has really changed in the last 10 years. And it just didn't make sense to me. I wanted something a little bit different. Now, of course, it's not how much money you make, it's what you do with the money you make. But I was constantly focused on what can I do to grow my income? Is it working to generate that 14 to 20 bucks an hour? Or is it spending that time doing something else? Can I do something on my own to create more than 20 bucks an hour? And I knew that when I was hosting these parties, I was able to make $2,000 in a weekend, $2,000 on a Friday night if I was hosting the party on a Friday, sometimes $600 on a Saturday if I was working on a wedding, sometimes an additional $400 on a Sunday if I did some other gig. And so when I started doing the math, I was saying, you know what, maybe I could do something different where I don't have to necessarily work 40 hours a week to make $14, $15, $16 an hour. Maybe I can do something a little bit different. And again, it goes back to focusing on the income. Now, I went through a long process of trying to figure out which is the right business for me. I left the event planning industry because I hated working with clubs. I hated working in the industry. I don't drink. I'm not even into partying. For me, that was just what was accessible because I started working at weddings and I got to know a lot of the DJs, and that was the industry that I understood. But it wasn't interesting to me. It wasn't passionate for me. I couldn't get behind this event planning business because it seemed like a dirty industry to me. I did it for the money. And when I started getting the money, I realized I don't want to do this anymore. This is not the scene that I want to be involved in. This is not the industry that I want to be associated with. So that was when I tried a whole bunch of different things. I went into real estate. I got into e-commerce. I did a bunch of things before I started building Briefs Media, which is the company that I run now. And so it took me a lot of tries and iterations, again, because I didn't have your traditional guidance or mentor. I had to go out and figure this out myself. And so what I want to remind you is what worked for me was focusing on that income in the sense that, number one, keep learning on how I could grow the income. And that meant starting with reading books. Then it was buying classes. Then it was hiring consultants and coaches. Books will cost you 10 to 25 bucks a book. Taking a class is going to cost you $200 to $2,500. Hiring consultants and coaches is going to cost you $5,000 to $500,000. Now, you don't got to go out and start spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on coaches yet, but start by reading books. Better yet, now you can start by watching YouTube videos. There are a lot of ways to grow your income. And if you are not an entrepreneur, that's okay. You don't got to be. You can start by figuring out how you can increase the salary that you have at your job. Because if you can increase your salary by $10,000 a year, that's a $10,000 bonus. But now it's what do you do with that money? And so now you got to start focusing on the income, because the income is what's going to allow you to have the money to grow your wealth. Because the next thing was, now as I started making money, I focus on going back down to number two, controlling my spending. I had already gotten my spending under control. This is before I started making any real decent money. I had gotten my spending under control because I realized that when I was making a little bit of money and I was spending a little bit of money, I had no money left over for myself. And so this is where I worked to not spend money unless it was an asset. And that meant primarily real estate investments for me back then, because I got involved on my real estate investing journey back in 2011, back when real estate prices were at rock bottom after the 2008 crash. I'm in Michigan, and Michigan was hit especially hard by the 2008 crash. I didn't realize how fortunate I was to get started in real estate back then until now, because I was just unfamiliar. That to me, $10,000 homes, $15,000 homes, and $25,000 homes were the standard, because that was the only thing that I had ever seen. I was 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, looking at rental properties that were under $30,000 that were going to rent out for $1,000 a month. And to me, that was normal, because I hadn't seen anything else. I was naive. I was uneducated, but that's how you learn. Now, I was very fortunate, but this is where, again, controlling the spending is just as important as controlling the income, because now I see it today. There's a lot of people that I know that make a lot of money. By a lot of money, I mean at least $250,000 a year that have nothing to show for it, because they don't know how to control the spending. They're making the income, they're controlling the income, but they have a whole bunch of nice things, they have a whole bunch of liabilities, but if they ever stopped working, or if they couldn't work, or if the business stopped coming in, they'd be left with a whole lot of liabilities and a lot of question marks on how they're gonna make these payments. That's where you gotta understand how you can control the spending while controlling the income at the same time. Now, it doesn't matter how much money you're making, you can start by controlling the spending. That's why with everything that I talk about controlling your spending first, because this is in your control regardless of where you are. And once you start doing this, that's where you want to start focusing now on how do you control the income. Whether you're working a job or whether you're creating your own income, how can you control your income? How can you scale your income? For me, that was working to create my own income because that was something that was interesting to me, something that I was passionate about, and something that I really wanted to do. And along the journey, it was me figuring out what is the best way for me to scale my income. Because in my mind, starting a business meant I create my own job. That was all that I had seen. I see DJs that they are entrepreneurs. You go out and you can make a lot of money per gig. You just create your own job because now you have this thing where I created something and I am the business. Where I see doctors who own their own clinics. I am the business. I go to work. I make a lot of money as a doctor who owns my own clinic, but I can't take a vacation because if I take a vacation, now my business is closed. And this is what happens to a lot of people who get started on the entrepreneurial journey is you don't really start and create a real business. You just create your own job. And when I started to learn that, that's when I had to figure out how can I create a real business that can operate even if I'm not working in the business. If I go on a vacation for a week, can this business continue to generate revenue? What if I go on a vacation for 6 months? Can this business continue to generate revenue? And that's where understanding how you can build a business that can grow without you, where you can fire yourself and hire somebody else to run your job. That's how you can build a real scalable income. And that was then my focus. Now, this is like talking about the late 20s, but it's all about now, number one, controlling the spending and then working to grow and scale the income. Controlling the income, controlling the spending. And when it comes to controlling the income, it starts by number one, for me, how can I create some income? Number two, how can I create income that does not rely on me? And then number three, how can I scale that income? And it all starts now with starting to learn, read books, then go out, take some classes, then go out and get some coaching because that can help you grow and scale what you do. And this is where a lot of people ask, but Jaspreet, what business should I start? What's a good business idea? And this is one of the kind of silliest questions you can ask because I have absolutely no idea what you're interested in, what you're good at. Because what happens to most people when they're asking these types of questions is they're trying to figure out, should I sell on Amazon FBA? Should I create this dropshipping website? Should I create YouTube videos? They're looking for some sort of blueprint on how to build a business. But when you're looking for a blueprint on how to build a business like this, you're never going to build a real business. If you want to build a real business, you got to figure out what, number one, is a problem that you can solve that also aligns with your life purpose. And if you can do those two things, that's going to give you the ability now to create a real business. If you're just going out and starting an Amazon FBA store, or you're going out and just doing some drop shipping, you got a side hustle, but it's not a real business. You want to create something that you can separate yourself from, something that you're actually creating on your own, some actual product that you own, some intellectual property, something that you've created that you can manage and control and build and scale and sell. But in order for you to do that, you got to understand yourself. So if you're in your 20s right now, understand there's no limit to how much money you can earn, and there's no limit to how much wealth that you can generate. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It is possible to make your salary income, your annual salary in a month. And this was unbelievable for me to understand because I remember when I was in my teens, thinking that I could make $100,000 a year was the epitome of income. You're telling me that I can make six figures in 1 year? I couldn't believe that. But when I started achieving it, I realized that, $100,000 a year really isn't as much as I thought it was going to be. It's not going to give me the lifestyle that I thought I was going to have. It's not going to allow me to fly in private jets. And then when I took that to then $100,000 a month, the same thing happened. Yeah, we were able to grow the business. We were able to grow the brand, but I still didn't feel like I was rich because all my money was going back into the business. And this is where now understanding that, yeah, you can scale your income. There's a lot of money in the world. The Federal Reserve Bank is printing money every single day. All you got to do is take a teeny tiny little piece of it. And if you want to take a teeny tiny little piece of it, that means number one, you got to control the spending. That way you can have the money to buy more assets. And then number two, focus on the income because there are ways for you to scale and grow your income, but that requires you to take risks. That means taking risks with your time, taking risks with what you do, taking risks with your money, and then also working to learn that we can go out and actually do something that we can grow your brand and grow your business. Now, of course, if you do want to learn more about Briefs Media, we have a free newsletter called Market Briefs, where every day my team is working to break down what's happening in the top finance and business news. It's a fun, witty, and easy to read newsletter. You can read it in less than 5 minutes every morning, and it's completely free. So if you want to join Market Briefs, I got the link to how you can join down in the description below, or you can go to briefs.co/market to join for free and see what we're doing.